got me so down. But I picked myself back up and I started telling me, no, my God's not done making me a masterpiece. He's still working on me.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Grief Chat, heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. The host of Grief Chat is on the phone with us, Donna Mathewitz, and we are thrilled to chat it up with her about all things grieving. And Donna, we're sure learning a lot. Thank you so much. What's our topic today, please?
Well, I think we'll talk about another aspect of grief, that being sometimes those that get kind of pushed and not, they don't mean to be pushed there, but they end up kind of in the background of a loss. And so I want to talk some about siblings and then grandparents as well. And, you know, some of these things, you know, I know we concentrate a lot on grief through death when you and I talk, Mo, but there can be other things. In divorce, for example, there certainly is layers of loss. Several people. And so I think I'll start with, we'll talk about the grandparents. And you know, what we know is that more and more, there are grandparents who are probably doing as much of the rearing of children as the parents are. And sometimes they are the parents instead. So we have to know that these losses can be very devastating for a grandparent, even if there are still parents in play and grandpa and grandma are just very active and involved in their grandchildren's lives. And what can happen is that, or what does happen, is that when there is, you know, for example, the death of a child, now they're grieving the death of their grandchild, but they're also having to watch their own child, the parent, grieve and not be able to help them. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated grief. And I'm not sure, I've not been, gratefully, thankfully, not in that position to know exactly how that must feel, but so I'm not sure how much support that they garner from their friendships as grandparents. I would venture to say it would be more about, so how is the parent doing? Mm-hmm. Especially how is mom doing? Again, kind of like we sometimes do with fathers and men in grief, we kind of circumvent them, like they don't grieve as much or don't feel as much of the pain when they very well could be. And as I said, and then with the grandparent, they're also having to see the suffering that their own adult child is going through this time as well. So it's difficult. And, you know, how do we help? I guess I just say for anyone listening, be aware if you are a friend to someone who's lost a grandchild, ask them how they're doing too. And you might know, you know, their child who, you know, the adult child who lost their own child, but, and you might, you know, certainly have a relationship that causes you to want to know how she's doing or he's doing, but don't forget that those grandparents have a pain of their own. And it's hard for them and they need support as well.
Donna, were your parents or your husband's parents alive when Tim and Oleg died?
They were. They both were. They all four were. Yes, they were. They lived a distance away. They were, you know, 110 miles from here in our little hometown. So it was different because of that. It wasn't like, you know, they were here attending to us or anything. And, you know, for my own, my dad was quiet. He, you know, wouldn't have probably said anything anyway. But, and my mom was a real, kind of a tough, stoic person who really just wanted me to like move on. And I so I didn't garner support from her in my grief. She seemed to think it was time to move on and gave me examples of other people she knew that lost a child years ago and what they did with their lives. And I think she was telling me I wasn't doing the same. So, you know, we can't always count on those what closest to us to be our support. You know, it sometimes just doesn't happen. And I knew that. I knew my mom, and so I had to be, you know, I chose to just be okay. It was more, I couldn't handle that and everything else I was doing, so I had to just let that go. But unfortunately, we had a lot of wonderful support right here, you know, in our community, and that was very much appreciated.
Do you think they had support in your hometown?
Yeah, maybe there was. I don't know. I guess I don't. I didn't really have that conversation with her, but hopefully there was some. If she chose to talk about it, that would be. But again, it was almost like, well, that was then, and now it's over, and we have to just move on. That's the way she did life. So, you know, and the other part you might talked about a little bit earlier, Mo, is divorce and what that does to a family. You know, when there's a divorce, sometimes the grandparents no longer, if it's their son's children, there are times, and maybe vice versa, but a lot of times when if it's the son's children and there's a divorce, that sometimes they move on with the other side of the family, and there can be times when the grandparents never or hardly ever get to see their grandchildren again, which is, that is a grief issue for the grandchildren as well as grandpa and grandma too. Mm-hmm. That's very sad, and those things happen. And beyond that, then we're talking sisters-in-law and brothers-in-law, and, you know, cousins, and there's this huge fracture of this web that was a family at one time that is no longer like that. So it's worth considering and you know, chatting. And if that's your situation, you can find people who are in the very same boat, because unfortunately there is a lot of divorce, you know, in our communities, and you can find someone else who maybe is going through the same thing and didn't even know how to talk about it. But finding someone else who has that experience would be the place to go, I think, to just talk it out and share each other's woes and encourage each other and be creative with how maybe as possible you can still be an intricate part of a child's life or a grandchild's life.
Or you think about the flip side, if somebody is divorced and there were no kids involved and they've gone on to remarry, but yet the people that were your sisters-in-law or brothers-in-law or in-laws, they still hold a special place in your heart. You didn't divorce them necessarily. You just divorced your spouse. So if something happens in their life, that's an awkward situation where you don't know, maybe should I reach out? Should I not? What is your advice on all that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's varied how those relationships end up being carried out. But I think there are times when people are asked or feel forced into taking a side. And it's like, we're done now. You know, no, you shouldn't, you know, you don't need to be involved with them. Or they're, I think that you're right. I didn't divorce her or him. And I always enjoyed being with them. We had great times together. So as much as you can, I would say you encourage you to continue it. But I think it gets awkward. I think that's awkward. We've had some divorces in our family, and it changed, you know, the relationships with in-laws. So it's difficult. And I think every family scenario is different. You know, relationships and emotions and people vary that much that it's pretty hard to just say, do this, because it may not work. And it may just be, and sometimes it's just better to think, I was grateful that I had, that I knew them, and now I'm moving on to a different family, I guess, and creating more, you know, another network of people that I can love and be loved by.
And then you talked also about sibling loss, because I do think that's something that's really discounted. Talk about maybe from a personal standpoint, your daughter, Jill.
Well, you know, Jill was 18 when Tim died, and it was a rough age. I mean, you know, at 18, they're still trying to figure life out, and they're stressed with college and the you know, adult decisions now they're needing to make. So it was not that there's ever a good time, but I do remember when Tim died, I remember thinking, I'm grateful I don't have little children, because to have to get up every day and do life with these innocent little people who aren't suffering in the same way, they're suffering in the way they can, you know, for their age. But yeah, with Jill, it was, you know, there was always this worry. And as I talked to other parents about their own children, there's this worry. I wish I knew how he or she was really doing. They don't talk about it. They don't bring it up. They don't mention his or her name. I don't know what that means. You know, and that's a big concern. And so it's a challenge for people. And I just, and I don't think people purposely put siblings in the background, but they kind of are grateful to just go there and stay out of this mess of emotions and people crying and hugging and coming to the house and bringing food. And it's so foreign that I think they just might sometimes, depending on their personality, shrink back because it's easier that way. And then sometimes they can get left there. And so, you know, there's just such a need to be aware. My one recommendation for either a child in grief, be it they've lost their parent, their brother, sister, a grandparent, whatever, in any way where they're close to someone who is no longer, that there be some counseling. I really think that counseling is important. And I know it sometimes takes time to find the right one that's a good fit, but I think it's worth it for the future of that child and the family. We're excited because through our Gone Too Soon, which is our child loss group that meets on the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 6:30 at the Community Ed Building, we have now just added a sibling support group. We have parents that have been coming now for a while, and they have an adult daughter who is 23, and she lost her brother to suicide almost 2 years ago now. And she just has a heart for other kids who are going through this loss of a sibling. So she offered to say, well, you know, because we knew some of the other parents had some tweens and teen children, and we invited them to come, and they came, and they look forward to every time. And so we are excited about that, and it will be the same time as our Gone Too Soon. The young people will just meet with her in a different room, and then the adults, we can do our thing. So we're trying to be creative with what to do with that age group. It's a little different than conducting an adult group. So we're going to try to use some crafts and arts and finding some good YouTube videos with other people talking about losing a sibling, you know, and just trying to make it a place where they feel safe and they make some friends who can understand their life and what they are now living without their brother or sister. Several of them, unfortunately, were also suicide, so they have that in common, which carries another whole layer of pressure and questions with it, of course. But I'm excited about that. I hope to see somehow, I don't know how it'll all go, but to build a future with that can become something bigger, because there's nothing around here at all. There's nothing. I mean, we're the only grief group that is specifically just for parents, as far as I know, in the area anywhere. I mean, other than Compassionate Friends, but they're not here in Hastings. But we have people coming from Woodbury and Wisconsin and Southern, I mean, coming from a distance, because they are just so in need of finding a group like one that supports parents. So we're growing it, you know, in another way, and I'm excited about that, and I hope it'll be the answer for some healing for a lot of young people, too.
Well, you should be proud of that, too, Donna. That's really something. I'm really excited for you, because clearly your message is getting out in a positive way and people are finding solace in it. What is the difference between grieving for a sibling? What makes it so different?
I would say it's probably the thin or lack of support for them in their peer groups. I think other kids, you know, in fact, the young woman who's going to lead the sibling group, she talked about it. She was in college when this happened, first year or two of college, and her personality is such that she's always the life of the party. She's the fun girl. She makes everybody laugh. Wonderful young woman, full of life. And she couldn't be that, and she felt like she was letting her friends down because she just couldn't pull it off, you know, without totally acting it out. And she couldn't and didn't. And, you know, our friends just didn't know what to do with her. It's like they don't know this person. Where did this other woman go? So I think that's the problem at any age, to have friends who can begin to understand, and they can't. That's the thing. You can't find two or three people and say, listen, will you just be my friend? I will help you know what this is like, and then we can be good friends. You can't. It's impossible. It's like it's impossible for me to help you understand what it's like to lose a child, or help, you know, anybody. or what it's like to lose a spouse, or you name it. And even if they've had, even if the loss was that same person in the, in their life, the circumstances are always different. It's never the same.
And I would think, too, from a child standpoint, if you are watching your parents grieve, that has to really make you uncomfortable. And
Yeah. There's this little game, so to speak, this little dance, I'll call it, that goes on, because the children are very careful not to make mom or dad feel bad. And the parents are being careful not to dump too much of this on their child. So they do this little dance where I've heard parents say, well, I don't want my kids to see me cry. And I say, you know what? I think it's okay. I don't mean, you know, if you're going to have your big old good cry, that you could do in private, but it's okay that when you have a memory or something comes, one of the kids says something and says their name or says, well, Joey would have really liked that, or that if you, a couple tears fall down your cheeks, it's okay. Because at the same time, you're wanting to help them know how to grieve well. And part of that is just showing your pain and saying it's okay. And that you do special things on birthdays and holidays, and it's okay to commemorate their memory. And if you cry, you cry. I think just bringing this out, that you're going to feel something. And whatever it is, let's just let it be where we're at that day and celebrate the good times.
Great advice, Donna. Thank you so much. Donna Mathewich, she is the host of Grief Chat, heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. Thank you.